CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Nicaragua, darkness visible these many years, but I go to a document thanks to the Organization of American States, the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, detailing that between April of 2018 and July of 2019, the regime in Nicaragua murdered more than 300 people, 15 women, 340 men. Of the total number of dead, 27 were children or adolescents. That was then. This is now. Most recently, the Ortega Murillo regime, rather than murder people who had been thrown into their dungeon, those same more than 200 were taken out of the dungeon, put on an airplane, and sent away to the United States, deprived of their nationality. One man refused to go. He is the Roman Catholic Bishop of Matagalpa. His name is Rolando Alvarez. He is now, we're told, in that dungeon. What is to be done? I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady, who reports these details in her column in the Wall Street Journal editorial page. Mary, a very good evening to you. What do we need to know about Rolando Alvarez standing as one man up against a brutal regime? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. On some level, I would say that Bishop Alvarez is nothing special. He's a, if you read about his past, he is a man who, as a young man, decided that he wanted to be a priest, studied in the seminary, very dedicated to his flock, and has been watching the slow tightening grip by Daniel Ortega, a famous Sandinista. Most Americans know of him because of his toppling Somoza in 1979 and being the dictator in Nicaragua for 10 years until Violeta Chamorro challenged him and won an election and became the president in 1990. Daniel Ortega came back in 2007. He won an election in 2006, took office in 2007, and has never left. And Bishop Alvarez has been speaking from the pulpit in favor of tolerance, peace, against the abuses of the government, the repression practiced by Daniel Ortega and his dictatorship. And he has a huge following in Nicaragua. It's a very Catholic country, and he's been very effective in speaking. He doesn't talk about Social Security reform or fiscal management or anything else. He just talks about very basic tenets of democracy, like free speech and peace. And this really irritates the dictator. And when he was given the option of going into exile along with the 222 prisoners that you mentioned earlier, he declined. He said, no, I won't. And that, of course, infuriated Daniel Ortega. Bishop Alvarez was taken before a kangaroo court the next day, and he was given a sentence of 26 years. He's now in a prison called La Modelo, which is known to be quite inhumane, in a punishment cell. So we don't know too much about how he's doing, but he said through a source, an unnamed source that spoke to someone in a local newspaper, that he is serene and filled with the Holy Spirit and confident that he made the right decision.
You note that one prisoner released from that prison, Dora Telez, 67, a guerrilla, former guerrilla who fought the Somoza dictatorship, describes the prison as horror.
Yes. I mean, I can't remember off the top of my head if she was in La Modelo or in El Chapote, but both prisons, the conditions were really, really bad. And she described how, you know, what it was like to be in solitary confinement. She said there was a light bulb overhead, but it was so dim that you could barely see your hand in front of your face. And she said that, you know, you spent long, long hours in this. Well, she in particular was in solitary confinement for 605 days. And she said that the objective, in her opinion, was total deprivation, just almost designed to make you go mad. And, of course, this is classic, you know, repressive dictatorship, totalitarian tool for breaking nonconformists.
What is striking here is that you have an example in your column of other people standing up to dictatorships. This one would be the Castro brothers in Havana. and also frustrating the dictatorship. This is the Black Spring prisoners in 2003, and you also mentioned the ladies in white. How do they stand up to the Castro regime?
Well, all of these regimes have a problem, a PR problem. Cuba, Nicaragua, they have a problem because when human rights organizations begin to publicize the atrocities that they're committed, it puts a lot of pressure on the dictatorship. I mean, they have a whole narrative about how they've created paradise and, dare I say, equality for all the people who live in their country. And in the case of Cuba, there was quite a bit of pressure on the Castro regime because they had rounded up these prisoners in the spring of 2003. They had put them in absolutely atrocious conditions. And a group of women, they were largely the wives, mothers, sisters, aunts of the prisoners, began what turned out to be an incredibly clever dissident action, which was to march or to process silently with a single gladiola in the streets of Havana to St. Rita's Church, where they would attend Mass every Sunday. And this was infuriating the regime, so they would send their goons to beat them up, pull them by the hair, drag them through the streets. They would even put them in these paddy wagons and drive them out into the middle of the island and drop them off. And these are places where you don't call and get a ride home. The transportation is terrible, and they'd have to walk all the way back to their homes. And they did not give up. They just kept making their concerns known publicly. And of course, because of the cell phone video, this began to be an internationally recognized movement, the Ladies in White. And again, very embarrassing for the regime. So they came up with a plan to exile these guys. And if you talk to them, and I did, because I was in Madrid in 2011, and I talked to some of these exiles, they said they didn't want to leave. They were very much pressured to leave. And when they got to Spain, Zapatero, who was the prime minister at the time, wouldn't allow them to get the papers they needed to work. So they lived in abject poverty and quite a bit of psychological damage done to them because of the exile. But the headlines were screaming, Castro frees the prisoners. And I saw a real parallel here with what Ortega had done, because most of the headlines said that he had freed these prisoners. And I wanted to make it clear, and this is why I wrote the column, that exile is not liberty, and that many of these people are very dedicated to restoring democracy in their country. And now they've been shipped out and are really powerless to help.
Yes. Who are these over 200 people? Some of them presidential candidates, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mentioned before Violeta Chamorro, who was successfully elected president in 1990, if I have that right. She has a son by the name of Juan Sebastian and a daughter, Cristina. Those are not all her children. She also has a son called Carlos, who's a journalist who lives in Costa Rica. But these two were a political activist, and Cristina Chamorro was a presidential candidate for the November 2021 election. So was the former Nicaraguan ambassador for Ortega in Washington, a guy by the name of Arturo Cruz. He was also a presidential candidate. He was also arrested, put in a dungeon. Eventually, Arturo Cruz got house arrest, but he's one of the 222 that were shipped off to Washington. And, I should say, John, that I think there was somewhat of an objective here on the part of the Biden administration to help Ortega look better than he really is, to sort of clean his face so that we the U.S., could re-engage with Nicaragua a little bit. And I think it's very dishonest, because there's nothing about what Ortega's doing by exiling these guys that is a mark for democracy or liberty or a sign that he's willing to, let the country be governed by people who actually elect someone.
The last election was regarded, my memory is, was regarded by the State Department as a fraud, correct, Mary? Are they trying to clean that up? There was no election. There was Ortega.
No, I don't think they went that far. But I do think this was an effort to, like, it was an olive branch. Look how good I am. I'm freeing these these people who, you know, you call them political prisoners, but I'm letting them go. And that was an attempt, like the 2003 freeing of the Black Spring prisoners, right, an attempt to clean the face of the dictatorship. And I think it's a complete fraud.
And is the State Department fooled? Not even in the slightest, right, Mary? They know what he is.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, in their defense, I would say, look, you know, a lot of these people, as you mentioned, Dora Maria Tellez, were in horrific conditions.
Right.
And it's certainly better that they are, you know, that they are not there anymore. I don't think, I mean, if I were that in those shoes, of course, you know, getting them out is an accomplishment. So I'm not denigrating that, but I just think it's very important that we understand that there's no cost to Ortega here. He got rid of his political competition, and that should be, and of course, the fact that Bishop Alvarez has hung around and not left throws a little bit of a monkey wrench into Ortega's plan, because now we see really how evil this guy is in locking up a bishop whose only weapon has been his call for peace.
The man's name is Alvarez, Rolando Alvarez. Mary O'Grady of the Wall Street Journal, I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm David Pogue from CBS Sunday Morning. In the new season of my podcast, Unsung Science, you'll meet the discoverers of Ernest Shackleton's shipwreck, Endurance, lost beneath the Antarctic for 100 years.
It looked like the day when it sank. It's just a very good environment down there to conserve a shipwreck.
The woman who invented forensic genealogy and has solved over 150 cold cases.
It's controversial, right? Because you never know if sitting around your Thanksgiving table, there's somebody who's been getting away with murder or rape.
And the NASA engineers who flew a helicopter on Mars.
The density is 1% that of Earth's. 1% air density. It sounds impossible, and it is almost impossible.
It's season 2 of Unsung Science, presented by CBS Sunday Morning and Simon & Schuster. Listen to Unsung Science on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
What happened to her, Mario? How could she simply disappear after she was with you?
I don't have answers for that.
48 Hours at CBS News present.
I'm just going to ask you straight out. Did you kill Christy Wilson?
No, I had nothing to do with her disappearance.
Another season of My Life of Crime with Erin Moriarty. Award-winning correspondent Erin Moriarty brings you face-to-face with killers.
I will never say that I'm a cold-blooded killer. I'll never say I'm a murderer.
And the people they took from.
My son died running for his life.
This season, follow the evidence with Erin, beyond the speculation, including in the death of boxing legend Arturo Gatti.
My gut says I don't think he would take his life.
I know my husband killed himself.
Listen to My Life of Crime from 48 Hours on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.